time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night of Champions League action. Celtic keep the tie alive heading to Munich after a 2-1 defeat at home to Bayern. The decision to stick with Philippe Clement is not financially driven, according to Patrick Stewart. And Stevie Fraill says it was always the plan he would stay in charge of Motherwell for this weekend's game as the manager search continues. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
I'm sure we'll have no end of calls tonight, Gordon. Lots to unpick from the game last night. What an enthralling encounter it was. You're right in saying Celtic still clinging on by a thread. That Maeda goal gives them a little bit of hope against a very, very good Bayern Munich team. And that gives them something to fight for next week. And at the other side of the city, of course, problems still ongoing. That horrendous defeat to Queen's Park on Sunday is going to be followed up with a trip to Tynecastle. Not the fixture, I think. Don't think that Philippe Clement would want to follow that one. So all eyes on Ibrox at the minute also.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. It was a big night at Celtic Park. I thought Celtic finished the game very strongly against what I thought was first half. I thought Bayern Munich had quality written all over them. But as Mark quite rightly said again, they've kept themselves in this tie. Look, it's going to be a massive ask. There's no doubt for me going over there to try and turn that round is going to be massive. But there's hope. And you know football, we've seen it at the weekend with Queen's Park going to Ibrox and getting a great result. And still the rumblings from Rangers supporters. And Patrick Stewart saying it's not a financial decision why the manager's not left the building. I think a lot of Rangers supporters are asking, well, why hasn't he?
Well, whatever it is you're asking or answering tonight, the number you need to do it is 01419511025. It was such a big game. It got the big build-up it deserved. So what did you make of it, Celtic fans? Clearly, you're never going to go overboard and celebrate a defeat. And it was a defeat, but was it encouraging in places? What impressed you about the performance? Maybe the mentality, the bravery to not wilt at 2-0. Who were the individuals that stood up for you and stood out? Another goal for Daizen Maeda. Is he the man to lead the line over in Munich now? Is that the way you see it with the way the game went last night? What about the goals conceded? How frustrating are they? The timing first and foremost, and then the nature particularly of that second goal. So I'm sure you've all got lots of thoughts on last night. It was spoken about over and over in the build-up. We got the main event. It didn't go to plan in terms of result for Celtic, but it wasn't far off. It wasn't a bad performance by any means. I'm sure there were lots of positives to get stuck into. So give us a call, Celtic fans, whether you were there. It would be nice to hear from you if you were there and you can tell us all about the atmosphere and the eyewitness account, or if you watched it on telly, what did you make of it? 01419511025. Rangers fans, I know you've been longing to hear something from the club, and it became clear today, Patrick Stewart saying the decision to stick with Philippe Clement was not financially driven. There is a slight caveat that those comments were made before Sunday, so that maybe changes things for you. But still, it's an updated piece of communication. So what do you make of that? Is that enough for you? Is that going far enough for you? Do you want to hear more? Do you agree or disagree with the sentiment? 01419511025. Motherwell fans, it's been very quiet, and it looks like Stevie Fraill will stay in charge for the game against Ross County. Are you comfortable enough with that, or are you feeling a bit frustrated? Did you want a new man in time for this game? All of that and plenty more. 01419511025. Give us your most general thoughts on last night then, to kick us off.
Well, it was an intriguing watch. I sort of took the form that I thought it would. I think when you get to the playoff stages, Celtic were always in danger of facing up against a team like Bayern Munich. And of course, the option was Bayern Munich or Real Madrid. Take your pick out of those We saw Real Madrid the night before against Man City and how they looked. And I thought Bayern Munich weren't that far off them. I know Celtic restricted them to few opportunities, but I thought you could just tell they were a level above with how they moved the ball. And Celtic defended well. They got back in numbers. They made it difficult. They just didn't carry that threat in the first half. And that's the difficulty when you go up a level. And that's what happens when you get out the main league stage into the playoffs. And of course, if there's a miracle and Celtic manage to pull off a result next week, it'll be another step up again. So I thought they hung in there. Unfortunate time to lose the goals. I know that's a cliche, but if you think you're doing well, and I said at the time, Brendan Rodgers must be desperate just to get the halftime whistle to maybe tweak one or two things, and all of a sudden Elise scores and you're behind. To lose the second one, it's criminal. The nature of that goal, I can't tell you how bad that is at that level. Kind of knocks the stuffing out of you. But it took 10 minutes and then pressure was off a wee bit. Brendan Rodgers changed things, and when Maeda went through the middle, the game changed, and fair play to Celtic for dragging themselves into that, because the amount of running and effort they had put into that point to lift the energy levels was something else. And they had Bayern rotting for a bit, and Alistair Johnson has a chance, and if they got 2-2, it would have been magnificent. But 2-1, fighting chance, but as a long shot.
I suppose in the broadest sense though, Gordon, everybody said it, including Brendan Rodgers, the aim from the first leg was to keep the tie alive. And they've done that. Now, I know there are various specifics that we can discuss, but that's why we kind of said at the start, it can never be like job done when you lose a game. But if your aim from the night was to try and keep the tie alive, they've done that. Now, whatever happens next week, we'll find out.
At 2-0, that tie could have got away from you. No doubt about that. That's what I like about Celtic in this tournament. See, after the Dortmund game, they've showed real character in all games. Atalanta, 0-0 over there. Great defensive display. Aston Villa 2-0 down, could have crumbled, come back. Last night, 2-0 down to the Giants of Bayern Munich. Tie could have been finished. Showed great strength, courage, character, whatever you want to call it. Really had a go at Bayern Munich. Caused them a lot of problems. Get back into the tie. Maeda's goal. Yeah, look, I don't think anybody will kid themselves on. It's going to be a massive mountain to climb. But at 2-1, you're still in it. And that's what they aim to do.
Let's bring in Reese, who is on the line. Reese is in Pollock. What did you make of it, Reese?
I thought we played very well last night. I think we've left ourselves with a good chance of going through. I mean, it won't be easy, but I think we've got a decent chance.
What did you like about the performance?
I just thought we played well as a team. We kept them, first half, we kept them quite quiet. I think the timing of the goal really killed us. The first goal.
Yeah, how annoying is that, Mark? I've got actually got a big... That's a real bugbear of mine, is like when we overlook just how important the timing of goals is, because I think it can totally change everything. And this is going to divide opinion, because Reese is saying thought we did quite well to keep them quiet in the first half. And I know they had loads of the ball, but they didn't create loads, did they? It's not like they battered down. I know there was the one, there was a good save Schmeichel made, but that...
Yeah.
One of them would have been offside, certainly. Like, look, I'm not saying they weren't good. Of course they were the Bayern Munich, but...
I think they had lots of territory in the Celtic defensive third, and I think Celtic packed that box really well, really tightly. I thought the back four and the midfield three in front, and I thought the two wide guys, actually, Maeda and Kuhn at the time, worked back tirelessly. So it's very difficult for teams to create against you, and that's what you need to be against top teams like Bayern Munich. You can't be open, or they will create loads. Still within that, Elise's chance, Schmeichel's save. Kane should score at the back post, but nevertheless, it looked okay. There was a period within, but halfway through the first half, I thought, there's a goal coming here. There was loads of play, run about the Celtic box, but they held out. So that's what makes it even more frustrating for Brendan Rodgers, when it's the centre-half that's got the ball on the halfway line, and you think that's the least of your worry. You're thinking they're as far away from your goal as we're happy with, and it's a diagonal pass. When the diagonal pass goes, that is the quality you're up against. At least it gets a bit of luck. But against anybody else, I don't know if there's much people is putting that in the top corner.
I saw Greg
instantly.
Taylor getting quite a bit of criticism for it. Do you think that was fair or over the top?
No, it wasn't. You could maybe look at the line that he held. I think he was the deepest defender, and he allowed that ball to be played in behind. The ball comes off him, Gordon. Now, everybody, I've heard the nonsense about, oh, show him down the line on his right foot. And the ball's come off him. It's landed at him. He's took it. He's touched it. And he's a top quality player. He takes on his left foot. The minute he does that, he's killed you.
The finish is scandalous.
And, listen, but it's luck. That's what it is. It comes off Taylor's knee. Taylor is close to him. That's where you want your fullback to be. It's different. See if he pulled that out there and Taylor then gets close and he jinks in and does him, you go, well, he's not tight enough. Taylor's tight. It comes off his knee. It's a bit of luck. If anything, I think Trusty could have actually got into inside Taylor a wee bit quicker. After the initial touch, I think Trusty slows down and then realises, oh, I need to speed up again. By that time, he's already inside and the shot's away.
I just think you put it down to one thing. I think you put it down to pure quality. Mm. He gets a bit of the luck that we're talking about. After that, it's all about his touch and his finish. Schmeichel, everybody talks about what a signing and how good a goalkeeper this guy is.
You don't need to worry who's in for that, do you?
No, listen, not saving it. Put a garage door on your glove, you ain't getting that.
Just one. Two. One on each club.
One. It doesn't matter how many. You ain't getting near that. That's in the top bin.
Reece, you've said a good chance of going through, and I know I'm bad for picking people up and trying to split hairs with the words they use, but would you go as far as that? Is it a good chance, or is it just a kind of fighting chance?
Yeah, maybe not a good chance. I think if it ended 2-0, I think we were out. I said that last night to my dad at the game. I think 2-0 puts us straight out. 2-1, I think we go again. Like, if that goal wasn't ruled offside at the very start, we go again and score early, you never know. I also just wanted to ask what your thoughts were on the penalty that wasn't given.
Yeah, good one, because it was a lengthy delay.
It was a lengthy delay for myself when I'm trying to explain it and try to, you know, buy some time, because it took so long. Well, there's no doubt Upamecano gets the ball first, but he does still go down in angles. I can totally see both sides of it. I find it a hard one to call. I wouldn't be surprised if it was given. I know that's not answering anything.
No, it's fair. But listen, I've said this before. We need to stop always having to 100% think one thing or 100%. There's allowed to be a grey area because it's a subjective decision. It's not going to be black and white, and we always act like they are. I think, Gordon, the longer the check went on, you think, well, there's a good chance of it being a penalty. Then the ref goes to the monitor, and we all generally know what that means, with notable exceptions, which we've discussed many times. What was your take on it?
I think if I didn't see the one angle, I'd be on here shouting as a Stonewall penalty kick.
Do
right?
You think that last angle from 100%. Behind?
100%. And look, there's not a bigger Celtic fan doing the co-commentary than Joe Hart. And Joe Hart even put his hands up and says, look, I've seen this from that angle. It's not a penalty kick. I don't think it's a penalty kick. Right up until that angle, I was saying, that's a Stonewaller. It's a penalty kick. When you see the other angle and the referee looks at it a couple of times, unfortunately, it's not a penalty kick.
I think he still is hesitant. See, even when he goes to walk away, the referee...
Because shouted him over.
But the referee, he looks at it, he comes... He has a wee kind of hesitation and looks back at the screen almost like, have I made the right decision here? So, incredibly difficult for him.
Do you think it's a penalty kick, yes or no?
Well, you know, just listening to what I said before you came in.
5 minutes, he just can't quite make up his mind.
Well,
I don't mind that.
Well, hold on, if you're a ref, are you giving it? Are you not giving
it? That's a good question.
Oh, I'm the ref. I would give it.
Oh, that's a surprise.
You know why?
You know why
I would? Because if I was a ref, I'm just being honest here, I would then second guess myself and say somebody else in a room is obviously
deemed
this.
Now you're in the psychology of VAR, though.
Deemed this the VAR. So if I'm undecided, they think it's a penalty, I'm going to give that.
I think what's tough about it is obviously there's the touch on the ball. And obviously that's the bit that the ref thinks makes it not a penalty. I then respect everybody who might phone in and say, but just because you touch the ball doesn't mean that it's then impossible to commit a foul as soon as you get a tiny touch in the ball. But then is it more of a natural
contact after his foot goes,
I don't know.
And plus the fact, to be fair, right, Ingles gets in as he's played the ball and then his foot's gone down. And unfortunately, I keep going back to it. When I seen it first, I'm thinking, oh, that's a Stonewall penalty kick, right? But when you see that angle and you see exactly what happens, I do not think that's a penalty kick. And unfortunately for Celtic, I'd have loved them to get a penalty kick and, you know, 2-2 or whatever it may be. I think, you know, it helped them. Even the goal at the beginning, I think small things change these games. You look at what like would that game been last night if that goal for Kuhn. What a start that would have been.
Incredible.
Right. Maybe put a different picture on it. But you're up against a good side. And you only answer the question honestly. I thought the referee got that decision correct.
Thank
with
you
the penalty kick.
To Reese, who asked the question. Let's bring in David. Were you at the game, David? Did you watch at home? What was happening last night?
I was. Fantastic atmosphere. I've been at Celtic Park 2-3 times, but that's my first European game.
Oh, brilliant. It's not a bad one to go to.
Absolutely fantastic. Celtic, for me, I thought we were away from the winner when they scored right away. I couldn't believe it. Everybody was taking their seats. But to me, Celtic didn't play that much good the first half. They were pinned back. That's why the crowd were getting a wee bit upset about it. I said, something's got to change. So then when Bayern Munich scored dead on half-time, I went, oh, no. And then they came in with a second goal. So when my either scored the could make it 2-1, I said, that's us. That is us. I think we're in a good chance because I think some of the players, my own opinion, I think some of the players didn't play up to their expectations. They were given Bayern Munich far, far too much of them. They were actually pushing Celtic back the way where Celtic should have went forward. You know what I mean?
Where is the balance for you in that, Mark? We hear this all the time. We hear it when our small teams go to play Celtic and sometimes Rangers. We then hear it when they step into the Champions League. To what extent did Celtic sit off, stand off, whatever you want to call it, and to what extent are Bayern Munich extremely good at keeping the ball and, you know, it's hard to get in the face as much as people would like?
Well, I think they intelligently gave up possession in the Bayern half because of the front four that they were facing, with Kane, Musiala, Olise and Sané. You need to restrict the space for them to get the ball. So maybe that's why your Kimmich and your Goretzka has got more of the ball. And I think that was a plan. That was a game plan in the first half. I can only imagine it was. And that's why Celtic defended their box so well. There wasn't much space for those guys to run into. What I do agree with David, in terms of when Celtic had possession, I get Bayern Munich are a top team and they're very intelligent how they close passing lanes and how they press you. But I did think there was opportunities in that first half especially that Celtic, we've seen them even against top teams going forward at pace and playing forward passes. And I think they were a wee bit tentative. I think almost it was like, if I try and force that pass and we lose it, all the space is behind us and we can get bust easily. So you notice last night in the first half, it kept going probably Cal McGregor to Carter Vickers to Trusty back to Schmeichel, and you're thinking in any normal game that would go to your wide guy, and you've seen it in the first 30 seconds and went wide to Kuhn and Alistair Johnson underlapped and they get success.
I think Brendan Rodgers himself even said, Gordon, he thought they were a bit passive at times in the first half. He said there was triggers that they had obviously set up that they maybe didn't quite carry out. I just wonder again how much of that is inevitable in a match against that level of opposition. You know, to try and do it all right for the 90 minutes, it must be a big challenge.
I think it's always hard for a team like Celtic, who dominate mostly in the Scottish domestic game, right? They don't come up against that press. Bayern Munich have got something that's like 10 seconds to win the ball back. That's how good they are, Gordon. So all of a sudden, doesn't matter how good you are in the ball, you've got to make sure there's passes there, you try and break the lines, do whatever you have to do, the triggers that you're talking about. Bayern Munich, first half, I thought, were excellent. The compliment I can give Celtic and the fact that they're still in this tie is, I look at that Bayern Munich side, I look at the players, I look at everything they've got. I would not be surprised if they're in the final, if they can miss who I think is the favourites, Real Madrid or Liverpool. So that's the biggest compliment I can give Celtic. I thought first half, Bayern Munich set up brilliantly. They stopped Celtic doing everything. They're a class act on the ball. Then Kane, he must be a nightmare to play against. I didn't realise how good a player Harry Kane was. And I watched him closely, and the amount of times he would just come deep and get into positions. And if you're a centre half and you're a midfield player, you're looking at each other if they say, Who's coming here? Is the centre-half coming in here? Or am I a midfield player that will need to drop off and it gives space to the other midfield players in there? All of a sudden, they're clever, very good players that know how to play the game. It's like Celtic dominating Scottish football. They know how to dominate in Europe. But I thought Celtic hung in brilliantly.
Thank you very much to David. Glad you enjoyed your night, David. Give us a call out there. How do you feel? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard? Whatever you've got to share from last night, we will take it. We'll do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. We're going to be joined right now by Mark, who's a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Mark?
Hi, folks. Hope you're all well, guys.
Good, thank
just
you.
Just very quickly, my friends and I have been talking about the game last night, and our opinion is Brendan Rodgers once again got his tactics, his team selection long in Europe. We didn't start well, we didn't play well. When he brought on Jota, put Maeda through the middle, took Taylor off, put Schlopp on at left back, the whole momentum of the team changed. And Yang, to his credit, the boy had a great game when he was on, as he's done the last couple of games. And we fear that Brendan Rodgers will not learn from that. Start with that team in Germany, which he really should do, and might just start with the same team he started with last night. And I don't think that'll work out well for Celtic. Mm-hmm. We think he should start with the team that ended the game last night and go for it.
So you think Yang should start the game?
Well, Kun or Yang. Kun wasn't that great last night. Yang did well when he came on, but either one of them would be, with Jota and Maeda through the middle, would give you a better pace.
Yeah,
better crosses coming in than what we started off with last night.
I think I take your point on the personnel. I thought before the teams were coming out, I thought Maeda was a stick on to play through the middle. I get that Ida,
we debated, you know, it all week, didn't we?
Aye, Ida laid the line well at Villa, he got his couple of goals, but I just thought, having seen Bayern Munich in their previous games, especially against Feyenoord, on the break they were susceptible to that pace, and I thought, well, that's ideal for Maeda. So I get your point on that. In terms of tactically though, I thought he got it okay. Personnel, maybe there's an argument, but tactically, I thought it was fine in terms of how their midfield and the defended. To compare it, or when he says he's got his tactics wrong again, I think that's harsh. I think there has been times where Brendan Rodgers has went gung-ho in Europe. In his first spell, Dortmund, wide open. I think he's learned from that. I think Celtic look a much better unit against teams with bigger budgets and more experienced players in this competition. I thought last night, periods, they did look that in the second half. They looked even better. But whether that coincided with changing the shape, who knows? But I think you're being a wee bit harsher on Brendan Rodgers. I think personnel, we all had an argument.
Would you go Maeda, Jota, and probably Kun, next week?
Listen, I've said in here, I always believed that Yang's got something if he's positive. I thought last night, come on, he done brilliant, the boy. But to start him in front of Kun, you must be kidding yourself on, right? And a game that you've got to win. I said last night as well, on Tuesday night, my three was I was going with Jota, right? And it's very easy after the game, because what's happened is Celtic needed something. And the minute Maeda, and I've said it, I believe Maeda is better through the middle than he is off the wing, right? And people will argue, well, look what he's achieved in the wide areas for Celtic this season. He's been very good. I just think he puts the fear of death into centre-halves, right? And goalkeepers. All of a sudden, they changed it last night. Maeda went through the middle. That's okay after saying, well, hold on, he should have started that way. It might not have planned out that way. Remember, you've got to take into consideration, this is Bayern Munich with top international footballers that cost millions and millions of pounds, that have won Champions League and won World Cup and European Cup, everything. They've done everything, these guys, right? They're top, top players. So I think you've got to give Celtic and Brendan Rodgers a lot of credit, because I keep saying it, fine moments. One, Kun, very unlucky. That lit up Celtic Park for that split moment, Gordon. That could have been a lot different, although I still think Bayern Munich's got the quality to come back into a game. A goal right in half-time as well. all of a sudden, if you get in there at 0-0, your tactics are looking good. You're changing Maeda.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that, because the one after, so say it's, and I know this is a big if, don't get me wrong, but you're 1-0 down. You don't sleep off, you don't fall asleep in calamitous circumstances.
Fair play.
You manage to stay at 1-0, then you make that change, and all of a sudden the place gets a lift, and you might go and get the.
So I think you need to take into consideration as well, and I think this is what top managers do, not just like us sitting here and people who go and watch the game where it looks very simple. You need to take into consideration the personnel that you're up against. And one of Maeda's great traits, and we've all said it, is tracking back. I thought the Bayern Munich right back was such a danger last night going forward.
So he could have had more joy against Jota potentially.
Without doubt he would have.
Is that a danger, Mark? I guess the bit we'll never know is how Brendan Rodgers felt about Jota. He is just back. He's only started one game. Did that maybe come into the thinking?
Well, both of you, Gordon and Mark, have just said once he made that change, a change of tactics. The German fullback has got pace to burn, like Maeda, and if you look at his stats, he's actually faster than Maeda. So putting him on the wing with Maeda, one of Maeda's greatest qualities is his pace. Most players he can outstrip. You're up against a guy that can equal him or maybe beat him, putting him through the middle would have been better. Maeda was a natural striker in Japan. He's done well out for us in wide, but last night, his pace through the middle, his goal-scoring ability, Kuhn and Jota feeding in balls clearly worked when it happened. And if later on Kuhn or Jota's tired, you can bring Yang on, keep that type of momentum going, keep those types of crosses going. Officially, Brendan Rodgers, if not the worst, has one of the worst European records of any manager. Not do it Celtic, Liverpool, Leicester. So clearly something is wrong with him tactically. And I'm not belittling Brendan Rodgers. Oh, Brendan Rodgers, Celtic, phenomenal manager. His trophy haul, his undefeated season, blah, 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 blah. The man's phenomenal. Even though he changed the pitch at Celtic, changed the training habits, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal manager. But we're all human beings. I make mistakes every day in life, and everybody's got a weak point. And I just hope next week he plays Maeda through the middle, Kuhn, Jota, and not Greg Taylor at left back.
Taylor gets a hard time, doesn't he, off everybody? And I think there's a lot of bandwagon jumping with Greg Taylor. I listened to some of the comments last night at half time from people and saying, oh, he should have done this for the goal. And you go on social media and there is an absolute pile on. There's no doubt that Greg Taylor gave the ball away from time to time, but you have to take into consideration as well who he's up against, the press he's up against, where he was receiving it every time for Trusty on the touchline with very few options. So maybe not his best game in possession, but defensively, what more could he have done for that goal? On the flip side, and I'm a massive Alistair Johnson fan, massive, think he's a brilliant, one of the best Celtic right backs we've had in a long time. I don't see many people having a go at that second goal with Alistair Johnson. It is absolutely criminal defending to invariably put Bayern almost out of sight. So I don't get the kind of just always talking down Greg Taylor's the problem. And again, I'll go back to it. You're right with Maeda, because I think through the middle he could have had pace. But you need to think of the opposition. I'm talking about Bayern Munich going forward. Maeda did a job defensively that probably Jota couldn't have done.
See, be fair to Brendan Rodgers, right? And I know it's not the ideal situation, but the aim against Bayern Munich was to keep the cell in this tie going over there. So tactically, whether you agree or not, I didn't agree with starting 11. I'd have played Maeda through the middle, right? But I've seen it develop. I don't think you can criticise them that much, tactically wise.
Let's thank Mark and bring in Kenny, who's in Yoker. How's it going, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
All good here. What made you call?
I'm just listening to my fellow fans, basically. I'm a Celtic fan myself, and I'm just listening to... And I've heard it out with the radio as well, just in passing, friends and family alike. Just in regards to Brendan Rodgers, the way he started the team last night, and that Maeda, you know, Jota, Kuhn, in fact, should have started rather than the way Brendan put the team out. If we had started in that attacking sense from the start, then I'm sorry to say, but we would have been run over the top of in that 60, 70 minutes. you know, the way Brendan is then, you know, brought on the attacking phase at the end is because hopefully Bayern Munich team would be tiring. You know, their wits wouldn't be the same as they were at the start of the game. You know, we had to stable the ship. We had to stop the onslaught that was going to come from the start of the game. And Brendan Rodgers set up like that to contain, to make sure that we weren't getting, basically, as I said, run over the top of. And then, you know, at the end, towards the end of the game, then he could bring on, as I say, Mieger through the middle and change it like that. Because hopefully by then, the Bayern Munich players will be more tired and they can have a go.
Kenny gets call of the week for me. I think he talks absolutely brilliant sense there. When you're a manager, you've got to look at the big picture. You've got to look at start of game. You've got to look to half time. You've then got to realise, what is my substitution? How can I impact this? Whether it's a tactical one or personnel, whatever it may be. Brendan Rodgers made the decisions last night and it paid dividends for Celtic because they got on top of the game. They were a real threat. They got the Maeda goal. They were chapping at the door. They kept their cell in the tie. I think Kenny is spot on with his points here.
It's just the thing, it's not that the last caller definitely wrong either, Mark. It's just this football has got so many, it's so fluid, there's so many moving parts, there's so many contributing factors. Bayern Munich win a lot of games, in case anyone hasn't noticed. Does that mean every game they win, the opposing manager gets the tactics wrong? Yeah. you know, probably not. Every team can look at things that they can do better, so you could always say that. And then similarly, you know, tactical setup versus individual moments, because again, if Brendan Rodgers might in his private moments say, well, if Alistair Johnson doesn't switch off horrendously,
yeah,
and we're 1-0 down and then we draw the game 1-1, everyone's saying it's a tactical exactly. masterclass. So yeah. There's just always a bit more to it than to think there's just this one factor. We're bad for that.
I think Daz and Kenny are right, and you're spot on there. I think as soon as Maeda was made available, and it was very late on, because remember, Maeda played, what was it, like 390 minutes or something at a row, everyone expecting him not to be involved. I think Brendan Rodgers has come up with that plan. I've got to believe that a manager like him is thinking, keep in the game, and as long as it wears on and we're still in there, then that changes it. I always thought Jota was always coming on at some stage, and it depended what Ida gave you. Now, Ida didn't contribute that much, but when you've got that pace and that fitness in Maeda, he was always, for me, going to finish the game through the middle, and I think Rodgers knew that.
Having said that, though, Kenny, would you now not start Maeda through the middle? So is that not where Mark, the previous caller, has a point? When you look at how effective it was, is that the way you would go next week?
I think it's different next week because we need to chase a result. You know, in the first leg, there's still a chance that we could get the draw. So, you know, this is what it is a hard one, but I do agree with what Mark said there. I think Brendan Rodgers, the money that he's on and the manager that he is, has thought about, you know, how are we going to contain this at the start? How are we going to keep them at bay? Because let's be honest, I'm a Celtic fan through and through, but at the same time, you know, we were never going to win 3-4-0 last night, but Bayern Munich could have won 3-4-0, if not 5-0. You know, it was more damage limitation, if I'm being honest, brutally honest, for the 60, 70 minutes. We managed to limit the damage within that time to an extent where it wasn't hammering. And then in the 60th or 70th minute, when I said, when Maeda's coming through the middle, yeah, have a goal, have a crack, because we needed the extra goal to take over to Germany, because we needed the one goal, firstly, because we're obviously losing 2-0. But then at the end, we could have got that 2-each with Johnson shot as well. I think you'd have probably done better with that, but maybe I'm being a bit too harsh. But going over there, I would be honest, I think I would stick with the same team, but I think it would be probably earlier that I would go to the attacking phase than it was at Parkhead.
You think so? We'll play Brendan Rodgers' comments. He was just so quick to point out the impact that Maeda had. And I take Kenny's point that was a change, but
I think Kerry answers his own argument there with that. I think that it's a different situation. They're now chasing the game. They need to get back in the game. They don't need to go gung-ho because one goal takes some extra time if Bayern Munich don't score. So they're still in the tie, but I would be starting my header through the middle all day.
Thank you, Kenny. How do you like the sound of this?
Oh my God.
Win £350,000.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Got any big Valentine's Day plans, Gordon DL? Don't answer that, actually. It's a family show, but your bank balance could be bursting at the seams if you've entered. If you've never entered before, sorry, make sure you do it now because £350,000 is up for grabs. That's £350,000. Unbelievable amount. Text yes to 61025. Do that. You get 2 for 1 on your first text entry. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. The call's charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. And all the other rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The lines close at 5 p.m. tomorrow, so do not hang about. Text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Always, you know, usually a kind of carefree, relaxed, informal tone to a Thursday night, except these two genuinely just spent the entire break arguing about who will get more people at their funerals. I could not believe
I think they'll know the answer to that.
Gordon DL furious at Mark Wilson's assessment that he might only get 75 people at his funeral. What is wrong with you two?
It's just to be put a boofy on for 75, that's plenty.
I think so.
Why? No, hold on. I don't even really care about the number. Why are you arguing about that?
Well, he said he had a thought today again that he's terrified of death.
All right, can you just move on? What is wrong with you two?
There's nothing wrong with me, but I'm a bit upset this guy thinks that only 75.
I think you're doing well for 75. Do you know 75 people?
No, but
see,
I've got
a good number.
I've got a lot of love out there.
That's a good number, mate.
Even by the standards that you two set, this
Buffy
is
or meal? Are we going for steak pie?
Buffy.
This is weird. Really, really
doggy
weird.
Doggy bags.
01419511025. We're here until 8 o'clock. It is a certainty. We'll do plenty more reaction to last night's game at Celtic Park because we've not even heard from Brendan Rodgers yet. But Ross called in about Rangers tonight. I think Ross, is that right?
All right, lads. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I just listened to Chris Boyd Monday from in, talking about Clement Martin to get the sack. I think he needs to go. This time, he's had enough chances. All the chances he's had, what do you think? I'll leave it to you guys.
Well, Mark, we've not heard from you since the weekend. We have heard from Gordon. What are your thoughts?
I think the magnitude of the result, I think you're doing well if you're a Rangers or Celtic manager and you survive that. I think then when you look back at what else has happened this season, you piece it all together, I think you're again incredibly fortunate. I can only imagine it's the European results that's keeping him in his job. I know there's a lot of talk about the finances and Rangers can't afford to sack him, but I'm pretty sure if they really wanted to, if upstairs really seen it fit to sack him, they would find a way in that respect. But my thoughts are, if he wasn't still in Europe, he would have lost his job on Monday.
See, on that, there has been an update of sorts today, Gordon. The longer this week's gone on, the anger had gone from the result itself, and it sort of evolved into, why are the club not saying anything then? Can we hear something? Now, there's news come out today, and I'll take you through it. So, Patrick Stewart, the CEO, has reiterated that the club's decision to keep Philippe Clement is not financially driven, because that's everyone's theory. People saying, well, he should be out of job, and he would be if they had the money to sack him, basically, is what people keep saying. But Patrick Stewart's been speaking at a fan advisory board meeting where it was put to him that, you know, fans maybe had that notion. But he said, just like he did in January, that the decision wasn't financially driven. It was more of a recognition that there was much more to fix within the football department. The thing that is worth underlining, these are the minutes of the fan advisory board meeting that have come out. The comment was made before the game at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I think it was the 5th of February. However, I think if Patrick Stewart was on the phone tonight, that would be great. He would still say the same thing. So does that, I mean, do you buy it? Does that clear anything up for you?
No. If it's not a financial situation, look, I hate sitting here and going, oh, managers should lose their job, but we're asked questions. If it's not a financial situation, he should have been shown the door right after a game.
His statement is that there is just much more going on, much more needs fixed than just the manager.
I totally agree with that, but I think the most important thing is the supporters that go there every second week or whenever the games are, and you know, spend a lot of money to watch their club. It's Rangers Football Club. You're not getting beat with Queen's Park at home. And I said it on Tuesday before anybody jumps in, we gave Queen's Park, and they deserve all the credit and we're all brilliant for them. Absolutely delighted for every single one of them. But you as a Rangers manager, and what gets me with them, Gordon, I think this is where the supporters are turning off, and everybody mentions it, his after-match comments are ridiculous.
What do you make of it, Ross, then? If that's the update of sorts, that it's nothing to do with money, it's more to do with the fact that it's not all about Philippe Clement, there are other issues there. Do you not agree with any of that?
Well, see what your man just said in earlier, get him at the door. I agree with that 100%. I mean, I've won European or the rest, I'm not saying of no, but I just say it's time. If Chris Boyd's listening, Chris Boyd, you'll agree with me. Oh, perfect, you'll agree with me. Let's get him out the door.
I think it's just because Ross is in Mauchline, he's trying to stick in with the Ayrshire Chris.
Boy, he'll be listening.
He's just trying to stick in with him. I don't know, Gordon, if that is. I think once you get entrenched in this opinion, people are basing it on football. I don't think hearing the comments from the fan advisory board meeting, I don't know if anyone, that's not going to change anyone's mind.
No,
I wouldn't have thought. But at some point, though, you kind of have to take Patrick Stewart at face value, and that is one of the biggest theories that's been doing the rounds, that is it. All it is that they can't afford to sack him, and he's saying that's not the case, so.
It can't be the case, Gordon, because he plays Hearts at Tynecastle, right? And if he goes and he loses that one and then he loses the next couple, they've got to find a way to sack him somehow. So it won't be a case of, oh, we can go to the end of the season and not win a lot of games because we can't afford to sack the manager. They would need to find money. It's Rangers. They need to find money to sack him. It's as simple as and straightforward as that. The biggest problem for him is now, I said it in the January window, I would have stuck with him, right? I didn't see the sense in changing. But when you go against Queen's Park at home, the Scottish Cup, probably the only bit of silverware that you've got a chance of winning, and you get beat in the manner they get beat in. Now, I'll tell you something now. I think the players are getting off lightly because they take a big responsibility. But the buck stops at the manager. We know that. And I honestly have not heard one Rangers fan just now backing the manager to say, no, he's got to come good again. He's doing this and this is a positive. I think Mark's right. I think the European campaign's bought him that little bit of sort of a safety net up in the, with the board members, right?
What else could it
but,
be?
But the fans don't want him. Now, it's a situation where it's not a case of if, it's a case of when they're going to sack him, because if he goes in another run, he beats Hearts and he goes in three or four games and everything's fine, people will settle back down again, but they'll wait for him. And that's a problem for the guy. The guy will never win this unless he keeps winning games and starts to overturn Celtic by winning trophies, which doesn't look like it's going to happen. So,
because what it does mean, Mark, is the lack of major communication, you know, this week. Tomorrow, Philippe Clement will have his press conference ahead of the trip to Tynecastle, and it's just going to be all on him again, isn't it, really? Yeah. And then we see what he's got to say about it.
But what more can he say about it? I agree with Daz in terms of his post-match press conference. I don't think he's ever helped himself with that, but especially after a result like that, it's very difficult to say anything positive, but trying to put a spin on it is difficult. He's going to have to face it all again tomorrow. But that's the position the Rangers board have kept him in, and they've kept him in for a reason, and it's got to be they think there's a chance that this guy can take them to the next round of Europe, which will course bring more money in and more prestige, but I just can't see it at this moment.
Thank you, Ross. 0141 951 1025. It's time for us to play this. Beat the Pundit
with The Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, beat the pundit time. Let's see if you can get one over on Gordon DL or Mark Wilson. You won on Tuesday, did you not?
Yep.
Was this the
percentages are flying.
Was this the
them.
David Gray question?
Yeah, right, ask him that one.
Well, I've just told him the answer.
Right.
David Gray.
Which Scottish Premiership manager shares his name with a singer?
Oh God, right. I would have got that.
Obviously. No, you wouldn't have.
Aye, Ed Sheeran.
Well, I said Robinson. B.A. Robinson, the singer, Scottish boy.
B.A. Robinson.
Is it B.A.?
But what's
and Andy said Rogers. Kenny Rogers.
Even though there's a guy who shares literally the full name with the singer. Anyway, I got a good tweet in about that. Someone tweeted me to say, I didn't even know the manager with the same name as the pop star question the other night, and my name is David Gray. So anyway, a bit more straightforward tonight, hopefully. Give us a call before 7 and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Thursday night, you know the drill. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here for your listening pleasure or something along those lines.
It's called? Yeah. Listen, I've got a wee bit of bad news. I need to put it out there.
Oh, no, it's not the funeral related again.
No, it's a sad passing of Bette Armstrong, a long time listener. Loved a Thursday night. I got a wee message today. So our thoughts with the
family. I like that. That's the best input you've had.
Thank you.
Well, listen, thanks for bringing that up. Thoughts to all the family who listen, do you think? Good. Thanks for doing that. Right, let's play this.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, beat the pundit time. Let's see how we go tonight. And by the way, plenty of time to get your calls in. Of course, we want to look back more on Celtic last night. We've not heard from Brendan Rodgers yet. We will, so keep your calls coming in, please. Ryan is in Greenock. How's it going, Ryan?
Good, how are you?
Not bad, thank you. Have you ever played before?
Nah, first time.
Right, okay. Fancy your chances?
Yeah.
Straight to the point.
When you listen, would you normally get
how many?
Like four.
All right, okay. So see if you don't get four tonight, hang up quickly.
That can be enough. I've got bad news for you, but I don't know if I should mention it. Just
don't say I'm down the peg.
No, you're not. It's just
I'm flying.
You're 4%. Behind Sid, right, which means a win tonight wouldn't be enough to overtake him, but it would pull you very close. Okay, heads it will be Mark Wilson, tails it will be Gordon DL. It is as well. He's back on.
Who is it?
You, tails.
Back okay. In the saddle.
Back in the saddle.
Okay. If you, I wish you wouldn't put it like that. But anyway, right.
Valentine's Day just round the corner.
Steady, Ryan. I will give him something else to listen to. 30 seconds on the clock. And all you have to do is answer as many as you can. Happy with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool. Remember to pass if you want and move on. Your 30 seconds is on the clock and your time starts now. Lyndon Dykes, Scott Wright and Grant Hanley all play for which club?
Queen's Park Rangers.
What is the name of Bayern Munich Stadium?
Allianz Arena.
Tamuri Kitspaya played for which Scottish club?
Pass.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Barry Ferguson or Graeme Souness?
Barry Ferguson.
Name any Scotland international managing in Scotland's League One, former Scotland international.
Pass.
How many teams in the entire SPFL start with the letter A? That's tough.
7.
That's tough under time pressure. My goodness. Are you ready, Gordon DL?
I'm ready. Another 40
Same
seconds on the clock
of
for Ryan.
Questions. We only got through about 5 questions.
Okay,
are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
Time starts now. Lyndon Dykes, Scott Wright, Grant Hanley all play for which club?
Norwich.
What is the name of Bayern Munich's stadium?
Allianz.
Tamuri Kitspaya played for which Scottish club?
Kitspaya played for Dundee.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Barry Ferguson or Graeme Souness?
Graeme Souness.
Name any former Scotland international managing a team in Scotland's League One.
League One? Paul Hartley.
How many teams in the entire SPFL start with the letter A?
In the SPFL, the top one?
No.
3.
Ryan, have you done enough?
I think so.
Oh, has he?
Oh, fancies his chances.
Oh, I'd love Ryan to fall flat in his face.
Anyway,
I'd like you to fall flat in your face.
Lyndon Dykes, Scott Wright, and Grant Hanley is Birmingham.
See the confidence he says Norwich. I don't know.
Ryan did the same with QPR, but then Lyndon Dykes was there, and you're thinking Hanley was at Norwich.
That's nonsense.
You'll need to listen to the three names. Right, none of you got it right. You both knew that the Allianz Arena is in Munich. You should know. You took a lovely picture in the taxi. Remember when we just arrived?
Oh, that was beautiful.
Going at 110 miles an hour.
So blurry.
I get slaughtered on my Instagram.
Brilliant.
But yeah, that was as close as we got, because the three of us broadcast from the pub the full time.
That's right. Yeah.
So anyway, it is the Allianz. Well done. 1-1. Tamouri Kitsbaya played for Dundee. He is reportedly on Motherwell's managerial shortlist. Gordon DL Gorick was 2-1 in front. Barry Ferguson or Graham Souness? It's Graham Souness, 54-45. It's now 3-1 to Gordon DL.
Ryan, how's that confidence looking now?
No, not good.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. Oh, I usually get a 4.
The Scotland internationals.
See you later,
managing
mate.
In League One, Charlie Mulgrew, Gary Naismith,
Paul Hartley,
4-1.
Did you get that one, Ryan? Maybe you get mixed up. Maybe it was me who usually gets a 4. And you get the 1.
I have to say, very unforgiving.
You only get 1.
Unforgiving question on the how many teams, because it's hard to count all them up under time pressure.
Oh, no idea.
Aberdeen, Airdrie, Alloa, Annan. Do you want to know what's even worse about this? So the producers have put a really tough question in, expecting you to catch it. Haven't even included Air on the list. What chance you got? How many did you say, Ryan? You said 5, didn't you?
I'll game whatever he wants. Game a 2.
I actually can't remember if he did.
Ryan's away.
What did you say?
I said about 3.
I said 7.
Oh, you said 7, so you did.
Yeah.
You can have that, Ryan, if you want.
He said 7.
Game anyway, 5.
4-1 Gordon DL. All good win for you.
I think you get the 4 mixed
up. You're closing in on Simon Donnelly now.
Well, people like Ryan come on full of confidence, and obviously they bottle it.
Ryan, to make
a bit nervous there, Ryan, weren't you?
Ryan, to make your night even worse, I'm now going to ask you how it feels to be a Rangers fan this week.
Oh, not good, man.
Just much like to be the pundit performance. Really.
He's in shock.
He's a man of few words.
He's in shock.
We'll leave he wants half.
Thank you very
Please
much.
Please don't ask me a question,
Ryan
Gordon. I want to go and greet.
Get it right.
Thank you to Ryan. 01419511025. Have you two remembered that we actually want people to phone in, though?
Yeah.
We meant to encourage them to phone
you know
in.
What? If people,
he deserves it. He's getting the neighbours. He's getting the neighbours ringing up a ring, isn't he? Thursday night, Dale and Wilson, boom. See you later, Ryan. Away a walk down Greenock Main Cross. Get yourself a pizza.
That wasn't your best line, I have to say.
I don't know where he was going with that.
Because you mentioned pizza.
But we mentioned it during the break, so it doesn't really work.
Okay.
No, you went a bit far.
I did, lost that. You took that too far.
I did, but I'm delighted that Ryan's tucked away.
0141 951 1025.
Where am I now?
The number. No, you.
I must be. Look, I've won the last 2 and I still don't get a percentage. How does that work?
I explained it to you. Your percentage, you've closed in. And on
closing
Simon,
in?
But not enough. You'll take him next. If you can win again without him playing, you'll take him, I think.
You're doing well, mate.
Hold on.
Hanging in
there. Where am I compared to this guy sitting next to me? I'm in a
different league.
80% for this
I'm
guy.
I'm in a different league, mate. Like when we played, different league. It's like the Champions League to your Race Rovers days.
You must have played 10 games.
He has 10.
10. I've
10
played
quality
23.
Games. Yeah.
23 I've played.
No, it doesn't matter.
Quality games,
he's
right.
The smaller teams play less.
There's a new one to worry, though, because you are always moaning about small sample sizes at the top of the table. Mm-hmm. Ross McCormick played 2, lost 2. I'm worried about him.
He's a doble.
But last night he was actually
ask him his name, he'll pass.
Well, he got about 4 last night. He was
Did
fine
he?
But the contestant was quite good.
Was he in a happy mood, Ross?
He's bought me the table.
He was a fine mood, he was alright.
He loves a wee chuckle there, Ross, isn't
he? He was fine. 01419511025 is the number that you need. You can tweet at Clyde SSB as well. Celtic fans, keep your thoughts coming. We've had a fair spread of opinions tonight, really, on what happened last night and where it went wrong and the bits that went right and how much chance you've got in the next route and the next tie in, who should play the next tie. So keep them coming. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers in the not too distant, but Gary was first through. And he's a Rangers fan from South Queensferry. Gary, how are you feeling at this stage of the week after the Queen's Park game? Anything changed for you? Have you now made your sort of peace with the fact that the manager's going to stay, or how would you sum it up?
I don't think that even if we were out of well, obviously out of the Cup, but if we were out of Europe as well, I still think he would stay. But my main point is, I think this has all came from since David Murray left, passing it on to Craig White. Rangers are in terrible, terrible, terrible trouble. But it's where the board constantly changing, money getting pumped in from the fans. The club has just been absolutely bled dry, and we're in a terrible, terrible, terrible state. Mm-hmm. Not just from the game at the weekend where we got beat, but even if Rangers won that, we're still in a terrible, terrible state. It's not a case of, okay, we won that, we'll go through to the next round. It's shocking, absolutely shocking.
Wow. We could extend the show till 7 o'clock tomorrow, and we probably don't have enough time to cover the ground of what's happened since 2011, 2012. In the most general sense, though, Rangers have reached a European final, won a League Cup, won a Scottish Cup since then. I'm not saying it is completely irrelevant, but I don't know. Is it not a bit of a stretch when you consider that they, for all intents and purposes, were back to a point when they won a league, when they got to a European final?
Yeah.
Has 2012 really got to do with losing to Queen's Park in the Cup?
Well, nothing, really. He's obviously talking about, Gary's obviously talking about the probably consistency of the club. Rangers under David Murray had the one chairman for a long time that brought consistency and success. But you're right, a lot of water's passed under the bridge. Of course, things haven't been great behind closed doors, but they still amassed a team that you say have brought silverware, and they should have built on that. There's been many flaws after those.
If the general argument is, has that contributed to this feeling that they might always be behind Celtic now, then yes, yeah, so I suppose you could say that. But can you still be a better version of yourself
of course,
just now? That's really the question.
Of course, and make better decisions than you have done in the past, because bear in mind, there is still an awful lot of money being pumped into Rangers over the last 10 years. And there's only been a snapshot of those being successful. But Rangers fans aren't interested in winning it 1 year and going another 5 years without a title. They have to get back to a stage where they're challenging Celtic year in, year out, and putting together a run, whether that be two or three league championships in a row. But that comes with correct decision-making. And there's been so many bad decisions made by Rangers behind the scenes, but also on the football department as well. So there's a whole multitude of problems that's affected the club.
That's probably a fair way of looking at it, Gordon, because, you know, Gary mentioned, you know, the club's in a terrible state, fans have put so much money in, which they have, mm-hmm. but to be fair, so have board members. That's the whole point. That's why Rangers have sort of kept plugging away at it, and that's maybe why it's not sustainable, but it's not just like, you know, fans have put money in and board members haven't. There's a lot of people out a lot of money trying to keep Rangers competitive. Clearly it's not been spent efficiently enough, or the right decisions haven't been made or whatever, but there's a lot going on there.
Oh, they're correct, and Mark's right. It's not like they've not spent money. And you're right, Gordon, the board members have put their hands in their pocket. The fans certainly have put their hands in the pocket, and that's what it makes it so disappointing for them, because you want to get silver. If you're at Rangers, doesn't matter what you want to get silverware. Simple and straightforward. Right? You've got to win something if you're a Rangers man. That's just tradition now. If you're a Celtic Rangers manager, you get looked upon. If you don't win trophies, then all of a sudden you don't have a job. But there's no excuse in the world whatsoever you can make up for Rangers losing at home in the Scottish Cup. The only bit of silverware probably that they had a real chance of getting to the final, maybe going and winning it, because as much as they're in the last eight in Europa League, I know Hugh's very confident they can get to the final. I don't think that will be the case. I just think that's unacceptable. And the money that they've paid for instance, for fans for season tickets and the money to go at the game, I know it probably won't be on the season ticket, Scottish Cup, not too sure about that. And then all of a sudden, you look at the wages and the money. You can't have a Rangers manager coming out talking about, in Europe, the gulf and gap with wages and making that an excuse against top teams, and then Queen's Park beating you in the Scottish Cup. It's not acceptable.
Did you expect managerial change by the end of this week, Gary, or do you think all the stuff that you've said, the bigger picture, just means that you're going to have to go on with this guy?
I think we're just going to have to carry on with him. I don't understand the financial situation where you give him another contract and he brings in a number two for a 3.5 year contract. He's got a good run in Europe and stuff. But comes to the summer, Rangers have got no trophies. I'm not too sure people say bring in Gerrard, but he won one trophy, which was a big, big, massive trophy, to be honest, but one out of nine. I'm not too sure what's going to happen this summer, so.
Yeah. So you think, like, let's just say, and I know it's purely hypothetical because they'll probably still be favourites for the game, but if Rangers were to lose at Tynecastle Sunday, so still nothing changes, you don't think?
I can't see it. If it had happened after the game at the weekend. It's too far gone now, and I'm surprised Rangers haven't actually come out and made a proper statement from the board.
But they did a couple of weeks ago, did they not?
Yeah.
That until, results, we can clearly see results have to improve.
And this football review is ongoing. Yeah.
You don't get any worse than Queen's Park at home. And that's why I keep coming back. I think all managers, all football coaches that go into management know there are certain results that, when that full-time whistle went, Philippe Clement must have been walking down that tunnel thinking,
it's my last
kick. Must be coming.
I think he did, though, based on the way he answers those questions and going back to that statement that Patrick Stewart made.
He has to answer those questions like that on the camera. But deep down inside, you're not telling me he's a football man when you lose, there's such a difference that you don't think, I've got to be in trouble here. And even his backroom team, and some of them have been there at the club before.
But, was it Gary that said it? What would... I get what you mean, right? And I'm playing devil's advocate here. Gary, he was allowed to bring in a new assistant weeks ago.
I know.
These things would make you think your job was secure. I know what you're saying. We're used to these. Some results are just so bad that you can't survive them.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual tangible things, he's had public backing from Patrick Stewart. I assume he's then had the same privately. And he's been allowed to add an assistant to his coaching staff on a 3.5 year deal, a couple of weeks ago.
That is a big shout. When Philippe Clement was under a bit of pressure, I know he needed a new assistant to add that. Of course, nobody had foreseen that Queen's Park would go there and win. But big monumental results like that change things. Change it quickly. That's the environment we're in. Football changes all the time and there is no certainty in it. But I think when you've got the background of what Clement went through this season, losing the League Cup final to Celtic, being so far behind in the league, some really bad results and performances in there, topped off with Queen's Park, I still think it's very fortunate.
Yeah, I thought it was a crazy decision to allow him to bring in an assistant manager. But at that time, they'd won away to Dundee United as well. That was the monkey off the bat everybody was talking about. They got to the last day. Things were looking good. They were winning games. Okay, it wasn't great still, but they were winning games. And I think they thought, right, we can go with this guy to the end of the season and then take it from there. Hopefully he gets us to the Scottish Cup final, maybe go and win it, be a massive bonus. But they didn't see Queen's Park coming on the horizon, and that's the problem, and they've made a mess out of it again.
Okay, thank you to Gary. Celtic fans, we are going to hear from Brendan Rodgers, so you'd be in good company. Why don't you call us right now, let us know what you made of last night, and we'll do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson is here, so is Gordon Dalziel. And we're about to hear from Brendan Rodgers. So Celtic fans, what did you make of it last night? Give us a call. Got a good question from you, from Stephen McCara on the teaser tonight. Was it you? Did you get one of the...
Yeah,
that was
Tuesday.
One of the most difficult teasers of
terrible.
All time, wasn't it?
Terrible.
Did you hear it?
No.
Every goalkeeper who's saved a James Tavernier penalty.
Oh,
in
I heard
Scotland.
The tail end.
How bad is that?
Andy Halliday was quite good at it.
Aye, he would have been good. Actually, I heard you just starting to shout out.
Just naming every keeper he could think
Halliday
of.
Wasn't happy at that point, was he?
He tried to stitch him up, he put Jamie McDonald in.
Because you should see him and Roger when they're on a Monday, they're so methodical, they sit and make piece of.
He's just shouting random names
at making ball this
any goalie.
Right, can you name 9 players who've scored in the Scottish Premiership this season? And their full name starts and ends with the same letter. So first name, first initial and last initial, basically.
Yep. Oh, hold on. Stay again. First initial.
Like Kevin Kyle. Like
no.
No.
No. No. First no. End. Start and end.
Oh, sorry. Right.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So their full name starts and ends with the same letter.
Ah, right, okay.
Once you get one, it'll be easier. I don't want to give any away, but...
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think already.
So if there was like a Sam Davis, it would be him. You get it?
Oh, are they a Davis?
No.
Is there a Sam?
It took me a minute. Sam
Nicholson. Oh, no, that's the same letter. This is hard.
This is
Can I borrow
good.
That pen? I need to start writing the names.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sam Nicholson.
Sorry.
Ah, but that's good.
How is it?
It's not good.
No, I know where we're going with this now.
Right, okay. Right.
You clearly don't.
I know. I've not got one yet. I'm thinking.
This is hard, isn't it?
I'm going through every player I can possibly think.
You can get back to us on it. Okay, you can get back to us. That'll give you some thinking time. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. Celtic fans, it's the perfect time to get involved with your take on last night. This is what the Celtic manager had to say on it. He did think they were a bit passive in the early stages, however, delighted with the reaction.
Super Scoreboard's coverage of the European knockout rounds with the Clubhouse Princes Square, taproom and home of live sport in Glasgow.
We looked like we got off to a great start. Unfortunately, it was disallowed. But we didn't give away too much. I wasn't overly happy with how passive we were at times. You know, we had our triggers in the game to go and press in the right moments and we didn't quite execute that. But still, we never gave away so much. They had obviously possession of the ball, but I would expect that. So to then lose just the goal right on half-time, bit of luck went against us. We Greg, it sort of ricochets to young Michael and he scores a very good goal. The corner, yeah, disappointed. I think that certainly one of the world's best strikers shouldn't be left free in the box, that's for sure. So we're disappointed with that. But then you have to react. At 2-0, they kind of comfort in the game. We make the changes. We were much better in our pressure at the top end of the pitch. We can take the ball better. And then we started to move like we normally do. And then we get the goal. Everything changes then. And by the end, Bayern are happy for the final whistle. So I think for a lot of our players, it's first time at this level. This season has been about getting the confidence. And like I say, that last 25 minutes, they'll feel much better about themselves going into next week.
Ricky is on the line. Ricky, are you as encouraged as your manager was there?
I'm 100% behind it. Brendan says, I'm 100%. Our players last night were very, very young, you know, Engels and Gunn. A lot of their players have never played at that level before. We're talking about, I would say Bayern Munich are 2 levels above Celtic with our players that they've got. They are 2 levels above us. I think we put on a fantastic show last night. I totally agree with it, but the first half, their possession was unbelievable. But that's what they can do to teams. Now, the other best team we could have gone to the draw was Real Madrid. Now, look what they've done on the Tuesday night against a team on a level with them. So, we put on a great show last night. Not just for Glasgow Celtic. I think a great show for Scottish football. And I kind of fathom out why the Celtic fans are saying that Brendan Rodgers got it wrong last night. I mean, to Dortmund, to Bayern Munich, and we're only going to beat 2-1 with them. And possibly could have got a draw at it. So I think we were bang on last night. Totally agree with Brendan.
I always feel like, Mark, when you get that level of disparity, because Ricky's right, I don't know what the criteria is, whether it's 2 levels, 3 levels, whatever above, but clearly we know where Bayern are. So I was looking at some of the other results. People have quite rightly said Celtic got a more favourable draw in the league section. They got some winnable games. They could have got much easier in this stage then. So you know, it's not saying they've been made to pay sort of thing, but you look at some of the other teams that are in this stage, Bayern Munich would be one of the better sides.
Oh, side down, yeah.
You look at the disparity between the sides. So generally you'd be looking to keep it as tight as you can and carry a threat if you can. And they kind of did that, didn't they? I mean, like I say, we should never get carried away. How can you celebrate a defeat? But based on realistically what we thought Celtic could achieve...
Yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers is right with his assessment of the game. I think he should be proud of what his players put in, and they got a lot right on the night. But obviously there's things that they could have done better. I think everybody can agree on that. He highlights the triggers in the press. Again, I believe Celtic could have been better in possession in the first half, and I only believe that because I saw it against Leipzig. I saw how good they were against a very good pressing side that play in the same league. Okay, not the same standard as Bayern Munich, but still, there could be wee bits that's better there. But there was no disgrace. I think everybody went in with that mindset anyway. There was no disgrace losing to Bayern Munich. I think some of the fans that are maybe overcritical remember the times 20 years ago, and we were chatting about it before. Football was just a different place, different environment, different structure to these top teams. There's just such a difference now between the real big guns and how they recruit players and how they position them to what it was even when I played or before I played.
What do you mean by that? Because the good teams were still amazing teams, and I look at the teams you played against, littered with like proper A-listers. What do you mean? Did you feel like those games were a bit more off the cuff, even for the big teams, whereas now the big teams are a bit more,
yeah,
like structured and...
Oh, without doubt. Tactically, there is so much put into these sides tactically that they stretch you with width and length, and they recruit these, I mean, unbelievably quick players. You see the top teams, unbelievable pace in each area of the pitch, but they're almost like chess pieces, and you can't go too tight or you'll get exposed. I think some of the games I played in and some of the games before, it was that individual quality. Obviously, there was players better than us that would skip by us and, you know, they might take their chance. But I think as a team, these superpowers are almost untouchable sometimes because of the way they're playing. I think Brendan Rodgers is trying to get close to that in his tactics, but he maybe doesn't have the quality of player to match him, if that makes sense. So Bayern Munich is almost complete. Real Madrid are almost complete because they've got both. Celtic are tactically trying to get there, but they probably never will with the quality of player to be one of the top teams.
I think, Ricky, if you're a Celtic supporter, you should be proud of your team last night. Bayern Munich, as Mark quite rightly explained, they're a top-class side, right? With great international footballers, world-class players. But I think the great thing for Celtic is, and I think they're starting to show it, we always say that Celtic have got to learn. I think they're starting to show great character. They keep themselves in a game. That game could have easily... I think everybody was sitting at 2-0 thinking, this could end up 3 or 4 maybe tonight. Mm. But Brendan Rodgers, and this is where the tactics and everything talk about, he's got to take a bit of credit. He changed it at the right time. He got a grip of the game. He got back in the game. Look, their ambition last night, and Brendan Rodgers said it, keep ourselves in this tie going to Germany. They achieved that. Okay, it's going to be a very, very difficult game to overturn. There's no doubt in that. I think everybody would agree. But at least there's a bit of hope there.
Ricky, would you start Maeda through the middle next week?
Possibly not. No, I would go with what I kind of see. Bayern are sitting there 2-1. Bayern will come out and want to just finish it. They'll come out wanting to finish it. And I think if we can possibly expose them with Maeda space up that wing. And I would also change, only thing I would change next week is I would play Jeffrey Slip instead of Taylor. Because I think Jeffrey Slip would be able to pinpoint us that Maeda could run it on you.
I really don't know about that because I've not seen enough of Jeffrey Schlupp recently. I get Schlupp Premier League winner, and he's played in England, and he's shown he's of a quality, can match that. But I only seen him briefly. Was that against Wraith? Was it or Dundee?
Yeah,
Wraith comes on, and he comes
and
on
Dundee, I think.
And he comes on. So he did. He comes on last night, where it probably wasn't as much a test as Taylor had. I think that's fair, because when Elise was on, that's a real threat. Bayern and had made changes, and the whole dynamic of the game had changed, shifted. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe Rodgers will go for that. But again, I'll just go back to it. Again, Taylor's the issue. You train Taylor, everything will be fixed. That won't be. In terms of Maeda through the middle, I don't know what he'll do. I don't know if Rodgers will stick with Maeda wide.
You'd want 11 of them. That's the point. So I take Ricky's assessment of it, because especially away, do you need Maeda to do a defensive job out wide that Jota wouldn't be quite as comfortable at? But like, I just, how effective was it when he went through the middle last night?
Here's my thing, and away from home here, in the situation Celtic's in. I think last night Brendan Rodgers played the tactic stuff of either to keep that game as tight as he possibly can, and then he would change it, Maeda through the middle, and we've seen the rewards that they got. It's different. If they go over to Germany and they lose the first goal, it doesn't matter what he does, he's out the game. He's out the tie. The tie's gone. Right, if they score, it's gone. So for me, I think his approach will be, Maeda is my best centre-forward through the middle to really put pressure. If Bayern Munich will probably play a high line against Celtic and come up the pitch, anything in behind, he is lightning. He terrifies defenders. Jota is your main man. By that time at the weekend, Jota's got more minutes under his belt as well, Gordon. So as much as I totally understand last night, I think that going next week, Tuesday, is completely different. He can't afford to lose the first goal. He's got to stay in the game or get that first goal, or it ties away
even
from
just the impact, Mark, where these are elite players, obviously. They're used to people pressing them. It's not like it's new. Manuel Neuer's like kind of one of the original sweeper-keeper type, you know, great with the ball at his feet. But they still looked a bit shocked when Maeda pressed them the way he did, the number of times he did, how late in the game he did.
I think that's the key. Good players are at that level are used to being pressed, like you say, but not that pace, maybe not that relentless nature. And that's what he brings. And you could see it, I think it was twice or three times, really quickly. He obviously gets round Neuer, but he almost caught them another couple of times. I get Daz's point and going for it, but there's also another side to that argument. If you take him through the wide area and you leave yourself exposed in the wide area to Lehmer getting further up the pitch, and you lose the first goal, so it's a tough decision for him to make.
What's the most impressive piece of running you've seen this week? Dyes and Maeda pressing against Bayern Munich, or your favourite reality TV star Montoya running down the beach?
Montoya all day long. I've got him up my wall now. I'll tell you,
he
what,
presses with some intensity, that boy, doesn't he?
He said, but I think he'd more at stake.
We can do a full show.
Is that a recovery run?
Well, the recovery was gone. Let me tell you that was just a run.
Well, listen, when the man marking goes out the window, we've got to try and get back in shape.
Recovery.
Quickly.
Oh, Montoya.
Por favor. Thank you, Ricky, in Easterhouse. It's 0141 951 1025. Right, have you got to grips with this question yet?
No, I got one.
It's really difficult.
Have you got
if
one?
You not? One. Right, so can you name 9 players who've scored in the Premiership this season?
Oh, no, I've not got any now.
Whose first name begins with the same letter that their surname ends in?
See, I went for Niall McGinn, but he's not one, is he?
No.
That's a great shout.
Right, same set of letters. Matthew has tweeted me in one of the
Nathan.
Correct answers. No. A really obvious one. Just think of players that have scored this season. That might even be a way to start it.
Right.
Who scored a lot of goals this season?
Sam Dalby has. No. Right. I'm just saying he's top goal scorer. Nicholas Kuhn. Boom. See you later.
Thank you.
Good shout.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I missed him out. Went through every Celtic player there, I thought.
What I would do is I would hone in on his first name, weirdly, looking at this list.
Nicky Devlin.
And
his other one.
Nicky Devlin and
Nicky Clark.
Nicky Cadden.
There you go.
Right, we're off and running. Nicky Cadden.
Well, we just stayed in the Nickies.
Nicholas Coon. We'll get the other six in about 7 hours' time, hopefully, when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. You can call us, you can tweet us. Thank you to everyone. Many people today. Moif is one of them who sent in the video of the. Have you seen the steward giving it big licks at the Merseyside Derby last night? And it's yet another. Is this Hugh Keevans? So that meant we have had a few of these. So basically, the goal goes in. He's obviously waited his full life, this old guy, and he jumps up and he starts going like this when they score. And I mean, he looks like Hugh in the sense that he's got grey hair and glasses. So
that's his. That's good enough for us, man. It does resemble him. He's a bit more mobility than Hugh.
Many say jump up or forgetting chug.
Do you know what favourite Hugh Keevansism of the week? Did you hear him last night? He went to Starbucks for the first time ever, and he genuinely was amazed. He said the food was magnificent.
The food.
The drinks were the drinks were magnificent. He got a tea, by the way.
How magnificent could a tea bag be in hot water?
The music was magnificent.
The music. Yeah. He said, I didn't even know they played music.
They had Nat King Cole on, apparently. And he said, I want to go back. Where are the other ones?
Said, is he doing a tour of
take a look at every street
everywhere.
Corner,
wow.
Every retail park.
How can he go that long road with it? I wouldn't put the food up there as our top things.
I've just never eaten out of Starbucks.
You're not missing much.
I promote it.
So anyway, other coffee shops are available.
We'll take him somewhere else. Yeah. Tim Hortons or that. I'll blow his mind, man.
McDonald's drive through.
Right. Can you name 9 players who've scored in the Premiership this season? Their full names begin and end in the same letter. That sounds confusing, but once you've got examples, it's so helpful. Nicholas Coon starts with an N, ends in an N. Nicky Cadden, Nicky Devlin.
Daz has proper. Been good at this.
You've been good during the break?
Yeah. No, we've got proper. He scored.
Robin Proper. Okay. Yeah,
You what, he was unlucky. He went Raskins, but he's not scored.
Raskins only scored in Europe this season. Typical.
Well, come on, out with the other one.
Hadji, Yanis Hadji.
Starts with an I and ends in an I. Good enough for me.
Yeah.
Aye.
Matthew's good at this because he's even foreseeing some of the issues you might have. There is one on this list that technically it's not his Sunday name, if you like, that we're going for. Right,
like,
so it's
Rab and his name's Doogie.
Sort of.
Yeah.
But the name that we've got on the sheet is what we all know him as, so you don't need to worry about that. I'm not going to catch you out.
Who's he play for? Come on.
It's quite close to home.
Motherwell. Sorry. Oh, your home.
Yeah, Motherwell. Sorry. Who plays Motherwell?
They've not scored many goals.
Does it start with a T?
You'll have to tell me.
T.
Why have you gone for that?
Tommy.
Derek is listening at home. He's went straight and he's got it off that off that clue.
Is he? Motherwell. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not the Australian boy because I ain't going to try and pronounce
Stammer.
It.
Is it Stammer?
Stammer.
Apostolos Stamatolopoulos. That's A&S.
A&S. Thank goodness it's not him.
Come on.
This is slow. This is supposed to be a fast feature that we just like whizzed through, it's a very difficult question.
Letters are hard for us. We are more numbers people when it comes to counting.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you are.
He's a maths equation. Who's
this is grim. Really,
I
really
need to
grim.
Look at the Motherwell squad. I'm struggling here.
Tony Watt.
Yes.
Tony Watt.
Tony
TT double T.
What did I say? You started with a T.
T.
Derek's now back on to say that he got it before we gave clues.
I always called him Anthony. So
three to get. Two of them are from the same club. Pretty tough.
It was club because there's loads of names out there.
I don't know. I don't really know how to. Right, two Aberdeens and a St Mirren left. But the thing is, none of them are like particularly prolific goal scorers either. Speaking of Tony Watt, do you like that for a smooth transition?
Nice.
Did you two think you would get to this stage of this week and we would still have a vacancy at Motherwell?
No, certainly did not, and you certainly couldn't have thought that either. But you know what? To give him a bit of defence, Motherwell, is a shock when your manager comes to you.
Sure.
And you've probably got all your plans in place for the till the end of the season and probably next, and all of a sudden it's been thrown on your desk. And you want to make the best possible appointment, not just who's out there not in a job. So it could be a lengthy process to take on at the turn of the year, mid-season. So I sympathise in that respect, but I still would have thought there are some good candidates out there that might have been done by now. I couldn't have foreseen that Stevie Frail would have known he was going to be in charge for a couple of games. And that's nothing against Stevie Frail. I like him, he's a good coach, but...
Weekend's massive for him.
Massive. It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. I've worked out who the manager is.
Oh, no, have you heard this?
It's a good theory.
Tell us his theory.
Good
Go on.
Theory.
Who's got to be the manager, Mother?
Mm-hmm.
Neil Lennon.
Based on?
He wasn't in the Champions League commentary or studio last night. So for me, and plus the fact I was out my walk and all of a sudden I heard a beep, beep, going up Airbus Road. Hi, Neil.
Right, that's a different story. And the problem
that's not true.
No, that's not true. So
it was a Neil, but it wasn't Neil.
So Neil Lennon was absent from your expected lineup on TNT Sports last night.
Yeah.
And that means he's the next Motherwell manager.
He was getting an interview at Fir Park because I looked out the window and the lights were still on.
No, see, that bit's a lie.
No, that bit's not a lie because I can see Fir Park from my window.
The lights were still on.
The lights are still on. He was getting shown round the pitch with a scarf above the head. You watch this space.
Listen, no, it's a good,
you watch this space.
It's as good a theory as we've heard.
It's as good a theory as any.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've got the St Mirren one.
We'll get back to that. I'm more interested in this. What I have noticed as well, Mark, because you know the way this industry works, my industry and yours as well, you always hear the sort of... There's obviously been a real effort to keep this as tight as possible, which is fine. Clubs are more than entitled to do that. Obviously, I think that's what every club tries to do, and sometimes with varying degrees of success. I think Tamuri Kitspire is the only name that's really been reported recently with any real sort of weight behind it. Would that be an interesting one for you? Is everyone just going to look for him to volley the living daylights out of the advertising boards?
That just comes with him now, doesn't it? Everybody remembers that famous moment where nobody can understand what he was so upset about. But he's had a varied career after that. We've seen him recently. He was a Georgia manager, so international manager. He obviously knows his way around the coaching game, no problem. Club football's different here in Scotland. Brief spell. By the way, I forgot all about that when it popped up and beat the pundit.
Dundee?
At Dundee. Mm-hmm. So he's been here before. Does that count for anything? Maybe, because he's been in the country, at least he knows what to expect. But
a message in from Martin, who would know these things, and goes, you know Neil Lennon's on holiday in Tenerife.
Magic. Brilliant.
You know, it was FaceTime.
Brilliant.
Who knew that your watertight theory wouldn't last very long?
Who's
shocked.
Martin?
I can't tell you my sources.
You know what? I'm not surprised we're listeners that somebody would have spotted.
No,
this is more of a. This is someone who would know these
things. Oh, I know. Aye.
No, not that Martin.
Another Martin. Right, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. What you sent to that? Hold on.
The technology nowadays. You know what I mean? FaceTime.
Maybe he needed a holiday before he. And that's why Stevie Friel knew.
Have you seen Neil Lennon recently?
Aye, burnt to a crisp. He'll be in that dugout with.
Okay, I'm still going to stick with.
You're going to go Kitspire now. Because you could now, see when you shave your head prior to your hair transplant, just don't let it grow back in. You could model yourself on the new mother.
I'd be a strange one, eh? Just come out the blue. But listen, you know if Roger Hanna, it's in his paper. There's a bit of truth.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Does he have to approve every story, does he?
No, because he's tight. Dog. He's tight with
Right,
Brian.
Quick, can you name the 9 players who've scored in the Premiership this season whose full name begins and ends in the same letter? Tony, Watt, Robin, Proper, Yanis, Hadji, Nicky Devlin, Nicky Cadden, Nicholas Kuhn.
I've got St Mirren one, a
Go
cracker.
For it.
Richard Taylor.
That is a cracker. I'm impressed with you, Richard Taylor.
Oh, I nearly had a heart attack.
I'll need to put you out your misery in the other
two. He scored against
Shaden Morris.
Never.
Ante Palaversa.
No chance.
Right, thank you Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. That was busy. Thank you for all your calls and your tweets, and for those of you who just listen patiently at home, much appreciated. Don't forget you can watch it back on YouTube, Facebook, all the usual places, and get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. It should be a very interesting day tomorrow. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers how he feels a couple of days on from Bayern Munich, and maybe more interestingly, in terms of pressing news, how does Philippe Clement feel after the week he's had? So make sure you tune in for that at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and enjoy the rest of your Thursday.